This sweet voice belongs to the purple martin, the largest swallow in the United States and Canada. It's also one of our most beloved birds, judging by how many people put up nest boxes for them. By October, nearly all the purple martins that spent the spring and summer visiting North America to breed are headed back south, a long way south. In the fall, large flocks of martins end up all the way down in the Amazon basin, and some will continue even farther south from there. Purple martins from western North America will go all the way to southeastern Brazil, traveling more than 5,000 miles in both spring and fall. But why travel so far each year? Scientists believe that purple martins were first a South American swallow species. Over time, they evolved a seasonal migration to North America because the longer days of summer sunlight provided extra hunting and feeding opportunities during nesting season. This same evolutionary pattern likely applies to many of the other tropical migrating songbirds that make their way north and south on their epic journeys each year. For BirdNote, I'm Ashley Ahern. Every Friday, BirdNote email subscribers enjoy the most colorful message they'll get all week, with beautiful photos, links to upcoming episodes, and info on our special features. Sign up this week at birdnote.org.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby. CJSF is diverse, independent, and yours. Underrepresented music, local voices, and real people. You keep CJSF independent.
Welcome to Scream Therapy. I'm your host, Jason Schurz. In October of 2018, I found myself in the hospital, sitting across from a psychiatrist who was telling me I had bipolar. I was sent home with a bunch of medication and laid on the couch for a week. I had my iTunes library on shuffle, trying to shake the hornet's nest from my head. Ever since I was a kid, I've been using loud music as a form of therapy. Punk rock and mental health have always been connected. This podcast looks at that connection through the lens of different guests. This is Scream Therapy. Combine a need to express difficult emotions while trying to understand the injustices of the world around you. This is the synergy that fuels a lot of punks. Alex McDonald of LA band Mermaid Island worked hard to find like-minded musicians when she moved from Atlantic Canada. With pent-up energy and channeling her aggression to understand the world around her, Alex used her guitar and her scream as the conduit. Moving to a new city was a huge challenge. With her need for constant stimulation and the drive to create, starting over again became the first mission of living authentically through punk. Put me in the microwave.
Nothing new about the state I'm in. I've been cryogenically frozen. Sure, I told you it'd be fine, just till they found a way to save my life. But losing your
Hi, my name is Alex McDonald. I'm a Canadian living in LA. I have a band called Mermaid Island, and we just released our first record. I moved to LA about 8 years ago. Actually, I had moved here to do like songwriting. I had played in bands like when I was younger, since I was probably like 12 years old. But I moved here to focus more on like songwriting and screenwriting. I need like constant stimulation, and I'm always doing something, like working on projects, or I just always have to have like a million things on the go. I really thrive in like organizing chaos in my life. I kind of started like spiraling in this pent up energy that was like accumulating inside of me. And I mean, there's a million different things that you can call it. Like, I really don't like to put, I know that it's important to like put language to things to determine what to do about it. But with this band, it was more of like this entity that kind of just started that I was like a part of. So I really do feel like in a weird way, the band kind of started itself out of this desperate need to socially connect with other human beings and have this outlet for all this pent up energy and aggression and desire to both like perform and connect and also like find a community, you know? So I had conceptualized the band probably about a year, at least a year, maybe like a year and 3 months before I found the first like other person to be in the band. I just kind of like instinctively knew that like this was going to be the thing that was going to help me, the thing like where my life was going to go.
A lot of people are looking for that purpose. Yeah. And even identity, right? It's, I think punk rock's always been really good for giving people that.
Right. And I think like that is how I grew up playing music and seeing music. It was like so community based, and it was just like a part of our existence, like as humans. I grew up in a tiny rural town in Cape Breton, Nova Scotia, and there's a lot of Celtic influence and community-based music in Cape Breton and in Nova Scotia and in the Maritimes. So the way that I grew up was everyone would play music like at a party. There would always be like a fiddle player, a piano player, a guitar player. Like there would just always be music like at every kind of gathering. And in the town that I grew up, there was only like 3,000 people, but we had these like huge outdoor concerts where everyone from the entire town would like go and sit in the grass and like watch performers would come in from, you know, they would tour around Atlantic Canada. And I started busking like outside of the concerts and outside of the liquor store when I was like 12 years old. So playing music and seeing music was always so integrated with social connection and having a community and like feeling connected to other people around me. So when I came here and I was like looking for that, and when the pandemic happened, it was like so isolating, and I had nobody around that I knew. It was like impossible to make friends who were as excited about playing music as I was. And I couldn't find anybody to play with like for a really long time who did this kind of very specific thing that is like so normal to me, but I couldn't find it out here. There's so many different punk scenes here in LA. They're so like specific and genre specific, and like, you know, there's a couple of different like versions of scenes out here. And I just didn't feel like I fit into any scene. It kind of felt the same as when I was in high school. I was like a floater, you know, I'd like go through all the different groups and I like kind of would be able to hang with each group, but like I never really fit in with any of these like cliques. And that's what it kind of felt like in LA, because, you know, you have all these different groups and like genres, but the like East LA hardcore kids like think that I'm a poser because I play like folk punk sometimes. And like the Hollywood pop punk kids like think that I'm hardcore. There was just no really place for this like warm and welcoming community-based. The music kind of has like a lot of its roots in Celtic punk and in Celtic folk. It kind of has this swing and also this rallying kind of feel to it that gets you energized.
Good morning, it's not so bad, it could be worse.
It's a punk record, but like there's so much folk influence in it because that's where my roots are. And I just couldn't find any other band that was like doing that in LA or like any other band that we could play with. So for a long time, it was so hard to find places to play. Like we'll play with anybody. Like, you know, we played with grunge bands, but a lot of hardcore bands. Yeah, but it was always kind of like, where do we fit in?
Yeah. So other than probably writing songs on your own during that time when you were looking for people and when you were in that stage, how are you feeling about it? And how are you dealing with it?
I wouldn't say I was dealing with it well. There was definitely a long period of time where I was so socially isolated that I was like almost manic. Because I'm not really that kind of person who just like hangs out. Like I always need to be like making something, creating something, or playing some kind of game, or like doing something. Like I would never just go to a bar. I don't drink straight edge. Don't drink. Don't smoke weed. Like don't do anything. So like this is like music is my therapy. Like music is how I interpret the internal state of being and like put language to it and understand like, oh, I wrote a song about this thing, like that must be what I'm going through, that must be how I'm feeling. So not having any kind of social connection or like not being able to like build any kind of project or like make any kind of thing with other people and not being able to like connect in a room or perform, I was nuts, dude. Like I went crazy. I was like sleeping 3 hours a night during that time. I like lost a bunch of weight. Like I had all this pent up energy and I was like circling my apartment, like writing these songs, writing a ton of electronic music. I made like a bunch of records like in my closet with like electronic music. I was like playing video games. It was like a mental time because I really do thrive on constantly creating and like constantly or working. I need to be like working. Humans are like, we need a job, like we need something to do. We need like a purpose. So like during that time, a lot of the pent up energy and anger and aggression that I had was like all channeled into this record. It's a blessing and a curse. Like I don't have an off switch. Like I'm just constantly going. My band says I'm like an energizer bunny.
That relates so much to that because I'm very much the same way. I won't sit down and rest. It's very hard to sit down and read a book, just the way that my system kind of works. Like you said, running all the time. And if I don't have a project or especially creative outlet, I get really antsy and almost like you said, manic or just so restless. And for you, what happens when you do slow down?
I mean, I try to make sure that it's like curated. I don't let myself burn out anymore. Like when I was younger, for sure, I would just like go. And then I would just break and I would need a couple of days or longer to recoup. But I feel like because of the way that I choose to live my life, I have a really effective routine and the pattern that I have like constructed for myself. So I feel like I've gotten good at like sensing when I start to feel like my life is getting ahead of me because I always want to make sure that I'm in control. And that comes from years of like constructing the routine and like the patterns of doing and the behavior that works for me, you know, and living authentically is also like a big part of it. And having like a healthy, like inner thought patterns is like a really important part of it as well. Like the way that you see yourself and like talk to yourself internally has like such a huge effect on how you live your life and like how you feel day to day. So I feel like, you know, when I'm starting to feel like, oh, maybe my life is like getting a little bit ahead of me, I will definitely either like go camping or like drop something. I'm way more like rigid than you would probably ever expect from like the lead singer in a punk rock band. Like I am honestly like the opposite end of the spectrum than you would probably expect. Like you think that I would be like, oh, you know, crazy and like partying. That is the exact opposite of who I am. Like my identity is so wrapped up in like structure and routine. If anything, I'm like way more anal and rigid about like how I live and like how I operate. Because I think with punk, it's like from an outsider's perspective, it can have this appearance of being like so wild and crazy. But there is like a very strong morality and structure. There's a sort of like an honor in punk that doesn't exist in the outside world. Like when I look outside and I see like how capitalism works and like how white supremacy has ingrained itself in society, like I don't see that in punk. And it's because there's rules, like there's like a moral code. Living authentically and like knowing truly deep inside of you like what is right and like what is good and like what makes you feel good and like trusting the instinct. Like I really believe that punk rock is about being authentic and the internal like matching the external. And we walk around with these huge, overwhelming feelings and these crazy thoughts inside of us all the time. Like we can't go around expressing that all the time. We have to find somewhere to put it. Like there has to be somewhere to channel all of this internal mess that goes on inside of this meat suit. So having like a clear, structured place to express those like huge, overwhelming emotions and all of that internal chaos from having to live in this white supremacist, patriarchal, capitalistic mess that we were just born into and like forced to live on this weird planet, having somewhere to channel that aggression allows me to be able to walk around on the street and be polite to people and like be sympathetic and empathetic and try to understand other perspectives and experiences, because it opens up space in my brain. Because otherwise it's like, if you don't have somewhere to channel all of those big feelings and things inside of you, then it's all stuck inside of you. And you're just living in this like messy mush of overwhelming feelings and confusion. And we're not that complicated. We're really not. Like we're animals. We've evolved to have quote unquote smart brains, but like how smart are they really? Like, sure, we have language and we can like put language to things and communicate our experiences. But when you really think about it, we need like sports. We need somewhere to channel our aggression. And like this band and like music to me in a way is like my sport. It's like the thing that makes me feel like I have a purpose. Like I fit in somewhere. I have a community. I can get all of my anger, my aggression out like on the field. Like that's my state.
One of the recurring themes of the podcast and also Screen Therapy book is the idea that punk rock saved my life. And it comes up so many times in the podcast. And some people use it, you know, literally, like they were going to end their lives and they decided that they had to live for the music, the community. Other folks use it as, you know, metaphorically, without punk rock, I might be doing something that was terrible, or my life would be in shambles, or I would just be living, like you said, a really boring or commodity-based life, or a life that was just kind of meaningless in some ways. So how do you identify with that statement, punk rock saved my life?
I 100% believe that I would not be here today, like if it wasn't for having a place to express the anger, the aggression, the sadness, the desperation, all of these overwhelming feelings inside of me. And maybe not everyone is like that. Maybe that's why I have to be an artist and have to have a band and have to write. But I feel like I spent like a good chunk of my life feeling like there was something wrong with me and feeling like, oh, I struggle with this. I have these issues. And as someone who has been through it all, labeled, you're this, as someone who's been through all that, now I look back and I go, maybe I wasn't the problem. Maybe society is the problem. Maybe the way that I am perceived, and like when I walk into a room and like men see me and make judgments about who I am and like what I'm about, maybe that weird, icky ass feeling is what's causing me to feel like there's more layers to this. I've been gaslighting myself my entire life. And now I'm like looking back on my life, especially, you know, when I was younger, and going like, I was right. Like that girl was right. Like I feel so bad for, you know, 13-year-old me who's like looking around the world and going, none of this makes sense. And everybody around me is going, honey, like it does make sense. Like you have to go to therapy. Like you have something wrong with you. You have social anxiety. You have depression, whatever. And I'm looking at that girl and going, there's nothing wrong with her. She's just being forced to live in this insane society that has just evolved to not care about her. And then everyone around her is like just gaslighting her into thinking that there's something wrong with her. And like she has to fit in to this mold of like what society thinks she should be. If I could go back and like say anything to younger me, I would just say like, don't be afraid. Like, don't be scared. You're not wrong. You're right. Like there was nothing wrong with the way that you felt. All of these emotions, all of these feelings of like confusion, overwhelm, depression, like it's exhausting being alive. Because you're looking around the world and you're going like, why are there people starving on the street? Like, why can't I do anything about it? Why is the world set up like this? You know, it doesn't make sense. And it's angering and infuriating. And the world is like built on injustice. So when you're raised in this like toxic environment that is innately unjust and people are suffering, and you're, you know, a naturally like empathetic person, of course you're going to go insane. Of course you're going to get a bunch of disorders slapped on you. Of course you're going to be institutionalized. Of course you're going to want to kill yourself. None of it makes sense. Like, how are you expected to just swallow everything and go, oh, this is normal? So yeah. It takes a long time, you know, but you just have to understand, like, it's not okay. The world is not okay, and it's okay to not be okay, but you don't have to be afraid of like communicating any of that. One mistake that I feel like I did make when I was younger was feeling like so afraid of feeling that way because I didn't see it around me. I didn't see like other people around me communicating those kinds of feelings.
Yeah.
So I found that in music. And I found other artists that had emotions and anger that was like as big as mine. And I felt like, oh, I'm not alone in the world. Like there are other people out there that feel like I feel.
That was my conversation with Alex McDonald of Mermaid Island, mermaidislandband.com. For more episodes of Screen Therapy, go to screentherapyhq.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. Doing this podcast and talking to folks about punk rock and mental health has been a crucial part of my own mental stability, and it means so much to me that you're out there listening. Screen Therapy is created in the Cathet region of coastal British Columbia, Canada, on the traditional territory of the Klahaman Nation. Contact me at screentherapyhq.com or email me at screentherapypodcast@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. Let's talk about punk rock and mental health. Until next time, take care and be well.
CJSF is 90.1 FM, broadcasting from the heights of Burnaby Mountain.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizerwitz, and this is Climate Connections. Hundreds of feet deep in the ocean, light fades to black, and a vibrant ecosystem comes to life. This is the ocean's twilight zone, a cold, dark place that's home to strange jellyfish and glowing squids, as well as plankton and countless fish.
It's really an amazing assemblage of animals that have adapted to these low light and cold conditions.
Chris Dorsett of the nonprofit Ocean Conservancy says these animals help regulate the Earth's climate by transporting planet-warming carbon deep underwater. The ocean absorbs a lot of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. Then tiny phytoplankton near the ocean's surface take up carbon as they photosynthesize and grow. Every night, creatures from the twilight zone swim to the surface to eat these phytoplankton and other creatures. Then they take that carbon back down to the deep, where much of it will remain. But Dorsett says the Twilight Zone is in trouble as companies grow more interested in deep-sea fishing and mining. So he says it's vital that countries enact policies to protect it.
This area very much needs to be protected before activities begin that could really impact it and impact those values for society.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
My name is Jamie Hill. I'm the Design and Communications Manager at Embark Sustainability. I think my favorite thing about Embark is that you do not have to be the climate know-it-all. You don't have to know everything about the issues that are going on. You really just need the passion to get started. So depending on what you're interested in, you might have a unique skill or interest that you don't think is applicable to climate at all, and it turns out you are the people that we need to be part of a community. So I'd really encourage anybody who has even an inkling of interest in climate or food justice to get on board. Embark Sustainability Society is an independent, student-centered nonprofit working across SFU campuses. Embark focuses on climate and food justice in their programs and initiatives. Some of their ongoing work includes their food rescue program, learning gardens, and sustainability career nights. Discover your role in building a sustainable future based on your unique skills and interests. Learn more at EmbarkSustainability.org and follow along on Instagram at EmbarkSustain.
Volunteering at CJSF 90.1 FM is a great experience and is easy to get started. So I'll tell you a little bit about it in the hope that you reach out. As this station is run almost entirely by volunteers, you have a variety of ways to get active at CJSF. Every department can use a little bit of help. Arts and entertainment. Well, you can write and produce reviews, conduct interviews of local musicians, the music library, acquiring, organizing, reviewing, and compiling charts. Public affairs. Interviewing groups, attending events, recording lectures. Public relations, postering, graphic design, and programming. You can host your own show or work on a collective. Production, audio editing, and PSA building. And once you feel comfortable, you can even volunteer to help the volunteers. So volunteer with us at CJSF 90.1. Email us at vol4cjsf@sfu.ca.
Hey, do you want